Hello, everyone, and welcome back once again to the Great Scott Podcast. I am joined by musician Daryl Evan Jones. How you doing, Daryl?
I'm doing well. Very, very well. Thanks. How you doing?
I like the setup. You're definitely an artist by the note on the... Does it say anything on the note over by the side? Or is it just the lights?
It's treble clef and just two notes.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
I found it online somewhere, and I realized every musician should have that on their wall. Whether it's lit or not, should have it.
Do you turn it off at night?
I actually do. It's usually...
Oh, like okay. Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
It kind of matches the sounding panels, and but I, you know, either way.
That's pretty cool. I like that. But so, Daryl, growing up, you actually really started getting into music at 8 years old, and in the most normal way possible for most musicians, that's within the church.
Yes. Yes. I actually wasn't allowed to play my flute in church until I believe 2 years later. I think I was 10. You know, my parents didn't want me to embarrass myself or them. I got my first. I got my first flute at 8. I don't remember how long it took, but I'm pretty sure that relatively soon after getting it, I was enrolled in private lessons because my parents made sure all of us learned how to read and the whole bit. So. Almost immediately, I believe I was enrolled. I don't remember the name of the school. I'm probably glad I don't.
Yeah,
but it was a prestigious Lower Manhattan school, which surprised me that my parents would send me there because we lived in the project, so we didn't have any money.
Oh, yeah.
But somehow they managed to roll me in this school where the man soon told my father he was wasting his money because I was too small. I would never play that flute. I was a real, real little kid.
Wow. So, yeah. Well, that's always encouraging when someone says you can't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I guess you proved that guy wrong.
It's funny that I even remember the story because I don't remember. If the man walked up to me right now, which I'm sure is not possible, I'm sure he's long passed on. But
yeah,
if possible for him, I wouldn't remember what he looked like or anything else about him. I just remember my father pulling me out of that school because of what this man said. And my parents, especially my father, please don't tell them what can't be because that just doesn't register
with them. Yeah, right, right. That's probably the same guy that told Elvis he'll never be a musician.
Yeah, how about that?
Anyway, so they call you the flute man. And,
In the Philadelphia circles, there was an event promoter. I can't remember his name right now, but he was the one that I think what happened was we were doing something and I think he forgot my name.
Oh yeah.
And he just announced me as Flute Man. And that stuck. I've actually donned the moniker Ambassador of Instrumental Soul.
Oh, okay.
I believe that my style of music fits that extremely well. Since it's kind of unintentionally, it tends to meld different genres together depending on my mood and a number of other things. But yeah, the Ambassador of Instrumental Soul, Daryl Evan Jones.
My dad just loves improvisational jazz where you just take it one way and then I know you know what I'm talking about, but I was listening to your song Remember Me before.
Wow.
I was before we did the interview, and that's just so soothing and calm, and that's pretty much what your music is pretty much soothing and calm, or you want at least people to know about you.
Well, here's the thing. Again, as an artist, it depends on my mood. So Remember Me, which is from the Relentless album.
Yeah.
It's actually a gospel song. Instrumental gospel, of course. But at the same time, the duality of it is it also shares by title and feel an emotion or feeling that we all share. Everybody wants to be remembered.
Yes.
Everybody. You know, and that's not a flaw, just the way we are. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's a very mellow, serene, almost a ballad kind of song, which is completely different than anything that's on the new record. On Resilient, there is nothing as an entire song that is mellow in nature. I believe every single song on the album, I didn't set out to do this, but I believe every song on the album is actually going to make you dance even if you can't.
I will have to buy it just for that. Yeah, because I want to see myself dance even though I know I can't anyways. You sold me, Daryl. So you talked about how Remember Me is a gospel song, or I guess you could have labeled it a Christian song too, maybe.
Yes.
Was it Mark Schultz that did that song? Was that the guy who did that?
No, I wrote it.
Oh, you wrote it. Oh, okay.
I wrote that and worked with my a friend of mine name is Runthy Williams. He helped me arrange it because I don't play piano, not well enough. And then I got with my producer. That producer is Andre Alexander out of Los Angeles. I say I got with him. I never saw him. I just, technology. So that was produced by Andre Alexander.
Okay, I'm thinking of something else then. Never mind. But yeah, so you pretty much do it all. Gospel, funk, jazz. That's pretty much the genre of what you do, right?
Just again, it depends on my mood. Classical is in there too. In
Classical,
fact,
yeah.
I'm classically trained, and on at least two songs on the new album, you'll hear some classical in the intro and outro, especially on one song with the strings. But yeah, there's just so much good music out there. It's almost a shame you have to put a label on it, you know. But if it touches me, if it speaks to me, I'm going with it, and it might find it. In fact, I did a show with one of my bands a few weeks back, and I don't remember what song we were doing. In fact, this was someone else's song, some popular song, and in the middle of the song, somehow it took a turn, and all of a sudden, whatever this song was became reggae. And it had never happened before. I never played reggae, and I love reggae. Never played it. And it was like, yeah, let's just go with it. And the crowd loved it.
That's interesting. Okay. So I was also reading your bio, Daryl, and before Relentless, and I could be wrong, but you wanted to kind of give up on music because you didn't know which direction you were going. Just had trouble getting out of this funk, not to use like a play on words or anything, but I mean, you were like stuck in this rut, I guess might be a more of a way to say it. But then God kind of spoke to you about which way to go with music, if I'm not mistaken.
No, you're right, and it's been more than one time in his journey. But I had to understand. And this was through a lot of patience and prayer. But I had to understand that this mission of music that I'm on is something that I didn't myself choose per se. I didn't make myself a musician, and no one gives themselves talent. So in his infinite wisdom, God decided to make me a musician. And since I understood that, I then had to understand that regardless of how difficult the journey is, in my case, music, giving up really wasn't a choice because I believe this is a mission God has placed me on. How do I answer to him? But I quit. It's not an option. So, using the best example ever in not giving up on a mission, I relied on my faith in Jesus Christ. And seeing, what I read right off the pages, here is the best man ever. And the things he was faced with, and people might think, well, it was easy for him. I don't think so. Like, I know it wasn't.
No.
And then, he still had to stay true to his mission. So my mission, I believe, is music. And I believe God has given me this as a means ultimately to glorify him through Jesus, but to touch people, encourage people, make people think, make them feel, lift them up. That's what music, and especially my music, I believe is for.
I do want to just comment and say, I think that people don't see, well, I know this is kind of a given, just the pain and the suffering that comes from creating something good, that people don't realize that, whether it be music or whatever it is, or whatever, painting or just, it takes a lot of pain and suffering to get to the good finished product that the artist wants. And I don't think people see that. And I know that's true.
Yeah, most people have no idea about the process.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I'm one of those people that tends to believe that anything that you make, the beauty of it, part of the beauty of it, is actually not having someone witness the process, but the end result.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's kind of like, if you think about it, if you could custom build a house, you don't want to show up and there's used lumber around and this. No, all you want is your pretty house when it's done. That's mm-hmm. supposed to present to the end user. So if someone is willing to look behind the curtain, as it were, I have no problem showing them. And I think in some ways it can help people more greatly appreciate whatever this finished product is.
Yeah.
Because they've now become witness to, there's a process here, and it's not always fun, and it's usually not easy.
No.
but you know, hopefully that helps tell the story even better.
And now let's talk about, I know we've been talking about it a little bit, but your newest project, Resilient, right?
Yes.
We talked about the song Remember Me, which is on the album, but...
No, that's on Relentless.
Oh, Relentless. I'm sorry, Relentless.
Yeah, that's okay, on Relentless. That's the previous album. So,
oh, okay.
So Resilient and Relentless, kind of close cousins in title, and appropriately, Resilient is essentially the follow-up to Relentless. But Remember Me is actually off of Relentless.
Oh, okay. I know that, so I know that you've been commenting on the newest one a little bit, but is there anything that you want us to know about it or anything you want to say about it?
About Resilient?
About your newest project, yeah.
Yes, the new album, Resilient, I'm over the moon happy about it. I really am. First of all, I chose the title because, you know, Relentless, they're Relentless and Resilient are two sides, opposite sides of the same coin, but both very necessary for the journey, right? So
yeah.
Is there anything that you want to pursue, especially something that's out of the norm? You've got to be relentless. There are going to be struggles, pitfalls, and just obstacles. Resilient is the other side of the coin where, while on that journey, some of those struggles and obstacles and pitfalls, they actually knock you down.
Mm-hmm.
They bruise you. You know, they cut you.
Yeah.
But your resilience allows you to get up and keep forging ahead. So I chose and made some song titles that would fit that. Most of which, by the way, the song titles were not chosen, and then I created a song. I created a song, and then, hey, this sounds like this to
me.
Yeah,
yeah.
So that's how they all got their titles, except the two covers. The two covers were chosen just because of, well, mostly because of their titles. No more negativity.
Yes.
Love the Way You Lie is kind of a... Well, Love the Way You Lie is kind of a mention of those who have been the obstacles in some ways, lying. You know, people will promise you the moon and then they don't even come through with a cloud.
True.
There's been a lot of that, but I have no bitterness. This song is really, this album is really a celebration, and hopefully people, you know, and people are, they're really, those who hear it, they're really loving it. But hopefully it also, it motivates them, it inspires them. I mean, that's what I do, what I do.
So I think that you also have pretty much hit on it, but what advice do you give to young musicians out there that want to make it in the musical world?
This one word has to be used in at least two different paths. The word is study. Study your craft, whatever instrument you use, whether it's a musical instrument, whether it's your voice, study and work to perfect it. But also study the business of the music business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Too many people get caught up in all the wrong things about this business. And then when things go south on them, they're lost because they never learned the business. And this is first a business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you've heard people get excited. Oh, I just got a record deal. Yeah. And did you read it? So make sure you study and never, ever. I'm going to sound like a Lowe's commercial here for a minute.
Okay.
But never stop improving.
And you mentioned those record deals. It's like signing away your soul to that record company, pretty much.
It usually is. And it's not in every case.
Yeah, right, course. Right.
But the more you really educate yourself, they say knowledge is power, and it really is. So the more you empower yourself that when you get this contract, you can look past the hype and the excitement of, oh, I got a record deal.
Yeah.
You did. Now, that I'm just going to pick a number just out of thin air.
Sure.
That $100,000 advance you got, mm-hmm. Notice it's called an advance.
Yeah.
But it's really – what it really is a 0% interest loan. You've got to pay that back.
Ooh, yeah. Wow.
Right? So – I don't care who you are. That advance, that's a loan that they advance you. That's why it's called an advance. They want their money back.
Sure.
And then you have to understand the terms of creative control, for one. Who gets to say what music gets put on your record? Who owns the masters? How much profit do you get from every copy sold? Those are things that you got to educate yourself on.
Right.
It's almost a shame, especially as an artist, that streaming is so popular, because the only ones making money off of streaming is the streaming services.
Absolutely. So, absolutely. Yep. They know they're coming out.
I, unfortunately, I still have to allow my music to be streamed, because the way the business works is mm-hmm. one of the metrics that they consider when booking an artist is they look at your streams. I wish it weren't that way.
Yeah, but right.
That's what they look at.
Right. Well, Daryl, thank you so much for coming on to the program, sir.
Thank you for having me.
And God bless you, sir. And thank you so much for your time.
God bless you, too. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.